Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh, I gotta keep this party up. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir, the champ is here.
Champ is here. Here we go.
I'm gonna be in the house tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna get the job. Here we go.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot,
yeah, time is now. Don't adjust your dial. Man, we are officially talking sports with the 12 men today, of course. It is the end of the month. Man, March is officially wrapping up the 31st. I am Andre Peterson, talking sports 12 men. So without further ado, I always got to check in with my co-host. I'm like the point guard. I'm actually distributing stuff. We do everything on Tuesday here. But, yeah, I got to check in first and foremost with my co-host, Mr. Ralphford. How you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing fantastic. Ready to rock and roll. Let's get this party started.
Rob is ready to rock and roll. Let's check in with the other half, with JQ. How you doing, Jaquan?
I'm good, man. Eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. Shout out to all my folks out there watching Monday Night Raw last night. Watch Brock Lesnar go ham.
Oh, man, we have a lot of things to talk about, man. You know, this is good, man. So as always, like you always like to set the stage. I'm going to give you the numbers of the show to call in, give us your feedback, all that fun stuff. If you want to share your thoughts, as we always do, the number to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. We're also in the social media atmosphere. If you want to follow us in that aspect, once again, you go to facebook.com/talkingsportswith12men. If you put in talking sports with 12 men, you actually hear us. In that instance. And also, finally, we are also on Twitter. Go to @12, THMN. You'll find us as well. So that's what we do, as always. So without further ado, man, we got a lot of things to get into, man. Final Four, there's a lot of movement in the NCAA basketball world, some NFL. So let's go ahead and kick this off. And I don't know if Rob threw me a bone talking about the Atlanta Hawks, but, man, I'm gonna take advantage of this by any means necessary, too. So let's kind of jump right into Final Four.
I'm not selfish.
I gotta say, guys, what a great couple of games. You know, the past weekend. You know, if you're Michigan State, man, you talk about Rob. You made a good point. Man, what a great coaching job by Tom Izzo. Because you didn't. I mean, I don't know if we expected him to be in the Final Four. We know that he always does his run. But some great games, and I don't know if there's things you want to kind of start off with, Rob. I mean, it's just a great weekend of games, and just kind of interesting to see how this Final Four actually did evolve.
Well, yeah, when you look at this past weekend, both the Sweet 16 round and Elite 8 round, I think this is one of the better weekends in college basketball in a long time. A lot of great games, a lot of games that came down to the wire. Even this past weekend, you can make the case with the Duke-Gonzaga game, even though Duke won the game by 14 points. I mean, that game was tied with about 4 minutes to go. Even that game was closer than the scoreboard would indicate. So a lot of great games. Of course, Kentucky-Notre Dame took the cake. Great basketball game. And that game could probably even help Kentucky being a little battle-tested, you know, advancing to the Final Four. That game could actually turn out to be a blessing in disguise. For Kentucky, you know, in this tournament, you have to be able to survive in advance, and that's what Kentucky was able to do in that matchup. This Wisconsin team, better watch out for that team, too. They're a little scary, but I still like Kentucky surviving in advance, and I think there's a little bit of a wake-up call for them. And obviously, it's looking like a Kentucky-Duke championship game, in my opinion. Which should be interesting. Kentucky is deep and talented, going against a Duke team that's on a rise. And, of course, they may have the most skilled big man in the country in Jahlil Okafor as well. So I think that's where we're heading. A very game Michigan State team has made it this far, but I think it'll come to an end. But, yeah, I think Tom Izzo has to be the best coach in college basketball. He does more with less on a yearly basis. I tell you, if you give him the talent that Kentucky and Duke has, I mean, he could be a scary coach But his teams are always tough as nails. And but I think they're going to be a little bit short on the talent end when it comes to facing Duke this weekend. And I think we're going to see a Duke-Kentucky championship matchup.
Duke-Kentucky. JQ, what do you think about this, sir?
And I hate both of those teams, by the way.
That's what I had in my bracket was Kentucky and Duke. But you touched on it. That Kentucky-Notre Dame game, I mean, wow, that was just flat-out phenomenal. If you don't like college basketball after that, I don't really know what else to tell you. But you know I'm going to go to it. Shout out to the Big Ten. It was supposedly a down year putting two teams in the Final Four. Absolutely love it. And I touched on it last week with, you know, what you just spoke on Izzo. I don't know why we keep underestimating him, but he finds a way to keep making it to these Sweet 16s and these Final Fours. And you can't put anything past him. And I think just the way they play, they're gritty. They make you grind out every possession. They're going to give Duke a lot of trouble. But I agree with you. I think Duke overcomes them at the end with Okafor. And I think even outside of Okafor, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
We can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. I think Winslow made a lot of money for himself in the draft coming up because he may not be their best player, but he may be their most clutch player when they need big baskets and defensive plays down the stretch. And I would like to mention Towns. You know, everybody talks about his defense, but he came through for them in a big way against Notre Dame. He put them on his back offensively in that second half against Notre Dame. So I'm very much looking forward to a Kentucky-Duke game, and I believe that will settle the number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft when you get Okafor and Towns going one-on-one.
I do want to talk about that, too, because that's one thing, because, you know, I still think Okafor is probably the number one pick if you're the Knicks, obviously. But, you know, but I do want to talk about the two, Rob, because right now I think the biggest thing that we were worried about was, like, you know, Kentucky kind of has that five-in, five-out type of mentality as far as subbing in. And we were wondering if Karl Anthony Towns had enough playing time, if you will, to actually, you know, put a case in that he could be the number one player. But, you know, just because of the way that Kentucky plays, you know, obviously he's not getting as many minutes. So do you think that's something that does affect this draft stock? This is more directed towards Rob, if you will. Or do you think it's just more or less like you think, you know, Okafor is probably the best player? And I don't know if it's kind of like a 1A, 1B scenario as well, but just kind of what's your thoughts about that, Rob?
I think Okafor is a little bit more skilled all around, but Towns is definitely right up there when it comes to draft stock. You know, he's definitely right up there at the number two slot. But I think Okafor, when you look at his skill level, you know, he's a little bit more – he's slightly more skilled in his all-around game than Towns. And I think that's where NBA scouts are going to look at. And just about every scout in the league has Okafor as the number one pick. I mean, it would take quite a bit leading up to the draft for that to change for Towns' advantage. But Towns is no slouch. He's a great shot blocker as well. Going to be a great defender at the next level, great rebounder. Also can run the floor like a deer. He's one of the, you know, more athletic big men as well in the country. But just Okafor, just a slightly more skilled, as well as a lot of the same twos that Towns has as well.
I do want to, you want to add anything to that too, as well, JQ?
Yeah, because I slightly disagree because I watched Okafor and he had a little trouble with those bigger defenders and those longer arms, and I wonder how that's going to translate when he goes to the NBA. I like Towns at this point a little bit better because he's just a better two-way player. His defense and his rebounding is a little bit better than Okafor's, and I think his offensive game is actually starting to come around a whole lot more. I'll be real interested to see them go heads up. But I would give Towns the slight edge, and I had a little problem with Okafor's motor in the Elite Eight game. He didn't really seem like he was super engaged, and again, he had problems with those big men down low. I mean, he caught a lot of double teams, and he did some good passing out of those double teams, but if I'm going to go for the next 10 years with somebody that I know that's a legit 6'11", 7 foot in Towns and can already play on the defensive end, I feel like I can give him, you know, an Akeem Olajuwon kind of coach to say, you know, I'll give you two moves. I'll give you a go-to move, and I'll give you a counter off that go-to move. I like his upside a little bit better just based off his two-way play.
Gotcha. And I think what Rob is saying, too, right now, I mean, if you compare him, I mean, right now, Jahlil Okafor already has an NBA-sized body. I mean, the comparison that I've seen is like kind of an Al Jefferson. He's big. He's got a nice soft touch around the rim.
I mean, you know, he's got great feel for the game right now. And that's kind of where, you know, I think Rob's going to give him a slight edge. And as opposed to, you know, Anthony Towns, I mean, he didn't really have a lot of post moves right now. I mean, you know, so it's footwork. He's like a lot of work with that. He still kind of seems like he's kind of growing to himself, trying to figure out some things. But he's already got some natural moves as far as, you know, he knows how to get to the basket. He's, you know, got the moves as far as the center too. So that's kind of where I feel Rob's kind of going. He's got like a slight more for Okafor. I don't know. Please correct me if I'm wrong too about that, Rob, too, as well, sir.
Well, yeah, his offensive footwork needs a little work, and that's something he's going to have to work on to get ready for the next level. And that's where NBA scouts slightly give Okafor the advantage at the current moment. Obviously, a lot of that could change leading up to the draft. Towns, of course, is very athletic and has a lot of potential, just like JQ said. But NBA scouts have Okafor as a slightly advantage right now. He's got better footwork around the rim on the offensive level than Towns has. And that's the area Towns is going to have to improve on, his offensive footwork and his post moves.
But one final point on that, I just was looking at Chad Ford on ESPN.com, and he said he just queried a lot of scouts after the past weekend's game, and they actually have just moved Towns slightly ahead of Okafor for the first time this year as the number one overall pick, as a very slight edge. So it could still come down to, if they match up in that championship game, like I said earlier, that it may be for all the marbles who goes number one.
That's going to be great. That's going to be good to see how that plays out for sure, man. Love it, love it, love it.
But I give Kentucky the edge of the team over Duke, though, because they have a lot more big bodies they can throw at Okafor's way, too.
Yeah.
So as a team level, Kentucky definitely still has the advantage, in my opinion, over Duke.
Good call. I want to talk about two other players here. Well, actually three. I do, you know, this is kind of getting to the other match. I know both of us gave a shout out to the Big Ten there. And I guess I want to talk about Frank the Tank, Frank Kaminsky, as well as Sam Decker. And these guys, you know, and they always say that playing in the tournament does kind of like elevate your draft stock, right? You know, there's more games and more teams are able to kind of get a feel for how you're going to do in the competition. And I guess, Rob, tell me, you know, you think Frank the Tank, what do you think about his prospects in the NBA, as well as Sam Decker? Sam Decker, I'm sure most of us didn't expect him to have, you know, as good of a tournament as he had. This guy turned into a clutch player, an amazing, pretty good shooter as well, Rob.
I like Sam Decker. He can control the basketball. He can handle the basketball. He can shoot it. I actually like his game a little bit more than Kaminsky, but as of right now, NBA scouts still rate Kaminsky ahead of Decker. But I like Decker as a wing player as far as translating to the next level. He played against LeBron James over the summer. Obviously, he's not a LeBron James. America, please don't get that twisted. He doesn't have nowhere near
the athleticism
that LeBron James has. But he held his own against LeBron over the summer. But nowhere, and he's not the athlete that LeBron James is. He won't be the defender that LeBron James is on the next level, that's for sure. But he handles the ball fairly well. I think he can be a solid pro. I actually like his translation to the NBA better than Kaminsky. But at the moment, NBA scouts still rank Kaminsky ahead of Decker. Neither one of these guys is going to go in the top 10 of the draft, but both of them will be first-round picks. You know, you can see both of these guys going somewhere between 15 to 25 in the first round. Usually I get in-depth in my NBA draft coverage right after the NFL draft. And
yep.
But right now I have both of these guys going somewhere between 15 to 25 in the first round in the draft. And obviously, like I said, we still got a lot of, you know, workouts to do, that's coming up. Frank Kaminsky could possibly be a poor man's Dirk Nowitzki-type player. But both of these guys somewhere between 15 and 25 at the moment.
But he doesn't have the will of Michael Jordan. That's all that matters, man. So just something else.
Only Tyler Hansberry has the will of Michael Jordan.
Wow.
You remember whenever he went
according to Jay Billis.
Yeah. We all
Wow.
That joke, man. So, yeah. JQ, you have anything to add before we get ready to talk about, you know, some moves that are happening as far as within the coaching hires there? So go ahead and let you finish it up, Sue, JQ.
Yeah, I think Frank the Tank, is his ability to spread the floor and go out to the three-point line and bring a big man, a four or five from the NBA, out to the 3-point line is going to be huge for him. You know, the stretch four is in vogue right now in the NBA, and he can do that from the four to five spot. And he showed a lot of touch around the basket and more athletic than I thought he was in watching those games. So I was really impressed with his game. I like Decker, but for some reason, when I see him, it just screams a slightly more athletic Adam Morrison to me. So I kind of have a buyer beware on Decker. Like, when he gets hot, he can flat out just torch you. But I worry about him being able to create his own shot at the next level. But if you're going to put him as a floor spacer, you know, shoot that corner three that's in vogue in the NBA, I like his ability there. And I agree totally with Rob on where I think both of them will get drafted. But I think Frank's upside is a little bit more higher in the and a poor man Dirk's comparison, I think, is pretty spot on.
Nice. Good stuff, man. So I love it, guys. That's how we talk about it. So, yeah, but as mentioned, I mean, we have more than enough time to definitely dive into the NBA mock draft. You know, we do a great job as far as covering that, too, and we did a great job last year, too. So stay tuned for that. JQ, we love to can't wait to get you in the show for that, too, because we definitely do a good job of kind of diving into a couple players and where we think a couple of people played. You know, I'm sure everyone talks about Jerry and Grant and a couple other players. So we do a good job of covering that. So definitely stay tuned. I know we're still kind of wrapping up some football. Football's king in our world, too, so we'll talk about that, too. But let's talk about a couple of coaching moves. Tennessee hires Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes has been a classic underachiever at Texas. So I want to get some information as far as that. Craig Marshall looks like he's you know, talking about heading to Alabama. I heard another rumor about Jeff Capel going as well. So, Shaka Smart, you heard a couple of things about that. We may not get into all of those, but let's kind of talk about Tennessee hiring Rick Barnes. I'll start with JQ. What do you think about this move? Is this a good move for Tennessee? Are they going to get back in the basketball business?
I think it's a good move for Tennessee. He has been a classic underachiever, but they have been pretty much rudderless in trying to find that next Bruce Pearl to put him back on the map, and I think he does a good job in recruiting. So from that aspect of bringing Tennessee basketball back, I think it's a good hire, and I think the expectations are a tad bit lower at Tennessee than they are at Texas. You know, people in Texas think University of Texas is the greatest thing since sliced bread, so you don't necessarily have that level of ridiculousness with Tennessee. But for them, I think that's a good move, and I think that's a good move for him to stay in the game, and he's definitely a good recruiter. He's going to have to get some top-notch assistants to help him with that, you know, play-to-play action. But for Tennessee, I think that's a good move. Greg Marshall, Alabama, I think that would be a great get for Alabama. I know Marshall was looking at Van Vliet and, the other guy that's getting ready to graduate, so it might be a good time for him to leave Wichita State. But I wonder if he is – Ron Baker, that is. But I wonder if he's using Alabama as leverage, because I heard that Texas is really the job that he wants to stay in the Big 12 area and to be able to continue to torment Kansas for all those times that Kansas went and played Wichita State. So I wonder if that's a little bit of gamesmanship on his part. But for Alabama, that's a slam dunk. But for him, I think that's just more of a leverage ploy.
Rob Ford, I think he's definitely trying to, like, torment Kansas. But go ahead, Rob. What do you think, sir?
Well, I agree with JQ on both of these fronts. Rick Barnes, as you all mentioned, the classic underachiever at Texas. He's been a tremendous recruiter, getting some elite players to Texas. Kevin Durant, to name one. So he has not had any problems getting elite players to come to Texas from anywhere in the country. And so this is definitely an upgrade as a head coach for Tennessee. Tennessee is still an elite university, so he should not have any problems getting elite players to come to Tennessee. This would be an upgrade for the basketball program to where Tennessee is at the moment. Will he underachieve with that talent? He probably still will, but this still will be an upgrade to where Tennessee's basketball program is at the moment. As far as Greg Marshall, if Alabama is able to get him or if Texas is able to get them, that'll be a win for both of those programs. He's done a lot at Wichita State. He's molded some 2- and 3-star recruits at Wichita State and put together some really good teams there. Obviously, he'll be able to get a better caliber player at Alabama and Texas. And so I think he'll do a tremendous job coaching those guys up and bring them to contention wherever he goes. So I think regardless if he goes to Alabama or Texas, if he leaves Wichita State, whichever team that gets him, I think there'll be a win for that school.
Absolutely.
Good calls on both fronts, man. That's fantastic. JQ, do you want to wrap the thing up? It sounds like you're about to say something, sir. I don't want to leave you leave you off there.
Oh, no, I have nothing else to add. I think that the points that we both made are pretty much in sync. And, yeah, like I said, Alabama getting Marshall will be a slam dunk, and Barnes to Tennessee is a good step in the right direction, even if he is a little bit of an underachiever.
Man, we poor Rick Barnes, man. He's getting underachiever. It doesn't matter how much talent you get, as long as you don't put it on the board. But that's, we'll definitely keep that. We'll see how it plays out, and you hope that Tennessee is thinking they're going to be a little bit more consistent, which is what Rick Barnes is going to bring. And hopefully he will get them to the next level, because as Bruce Pearl did prove, you can win there. You got to get some recruits. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. We got about 10 minutes, and I do want to definitely talk about some NBA draft coverage here in the mock draft. And Robert's been kind of working hard as far as the mock draft. I don't think anything has sort of changed here as far as the top pick. But, I'm going to go over the mock draft here. Maybe we'll hit some top 10 stuff, Rob, because it seems like you definitely like to torment me, putting offensive players in there whenever you know that we want defensive players. But, I'm not going to go too hard core on this. And did you get a chance to see? Hopefully everyone got the mock draft here. And I don't know if you want to kind of kick it off, Rob, and kind of talk about your thoughts as far as – I know you kind of do the best available here as far as picking, and this is kind of after we've made some free agent moves too, Rob. So I'll kick it off with you. Let's kind of go from there, sir.
Well, just picking back, you brought up the point about your Atlanta Falcons here. Obviously, if your Atlanta Falcons can get their hands on Dante Fowler, Vic Beasley, or Shane Ray, that will be their ideal draft. In this particular draft, I have Fowler, Beasley, and Ray gone by pick number 6. So it wouldn't be very ideal for the Falcons. And in this particular case, as you can see, I have him gone with Amari Cooper from Alabama. And that's not very far-fetched.
You're trying to torment me, America. You're trying to torment me, America.
You got,
making sure all the players
you got
are
the
it's not very far-fetched.
You got some inside information?
And the thing you got to look at in the NFL draft, first rounds for sure, you should not reach for a player. You have to take the best player available. Now, obviously, if you have guys on your board with equal grades, you have to take a player that's going to be a better fit for your football team or biggest need. But if you don't have a player of equal grade, you have to take the best player available. And in the Falcons' case here, you even got to look at it. You still got one of the elite quarterbacks in the game in Matt Ryan. You have Julio Jones. You have an aging Roddy White who's starting to deteriorate as a wide receiver. You just let Harry Douglas go to Tennessee. So it's not very far-fetched that this team is going to be in need of another wide receiver. But, obviously, if Vic Beasley, Shane Ray, Dante Fowler, they're the three elite pass rushers in this draft, obviously the Falcons would love to get their hands on one of them. In this particular mock, I have all three of those guys gone by number 6.
I'm not beating you up, Rob. I'm totally giving you a hard time, but,
it wouldn't be fun without it.
I know, but it is one of those things. I'm like, Rob likes to torment me because he knows that we would, like, pretty much have a riot if we drafted an offensive player. Now, granted, we'd get over it, because if you are talking about the best available player, and that's something that, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Not sure if we would sort of, if we would trade back, but, a couple things that we definitely want to talk about. I like how you kind of think this is. I'm kind of wondering somehow if Chip Kelly's going to try to, like, pull the wool over somebody's eyes and try to throw Sam Bradford in there to move to get Marcus Mariota. I'm curious about that.
No way.
Jets, are you – I'm just throwing this out there, And if you're the Jets, I know that they've had some private workouts with Marcus as well, so are they kind of itching as far as that too? I mean, there's a couple of different things that we have no idea what's going to happen too, but this is interesting. So I'm just going to recap this real quick. We'll let you do so I'll do some top 10 here, and then you can make some comments, both of you guys. I'll throw it to each of you guys. You got Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston, obviously. Number 2, Tennessee taking Marcus Mariota. Number 3, Jacksonville taking Leonard Williams, the defensive tackle up from USC. Oakland taking Dante Fowler. I still think they're going to call the ghost of Al Davis and draft Kevin White, surprise us all. You got number 5, Vic Beasley going to Washington. Number 6, Shane Ray. Number 7, Chicago taking Kevin White. Number 8, I was talking about Amari Cooper going to Atlanta. Number 9, the Giants taking Randy Gregory, the guy that was just a failed drug test before. And number 10, you've got Brandon Sheep, the offensive tackle guard. Smoke weed every day. But, yeah. And I got to say, man, Randy Gregory, man, that's kind of disappointing, guys, because here's a guy, and you know, a lot of guys have failed the drug test, but, you know, in everything that's happening right now, it's kind of we have this heightened sense of everything. And word on the street is that it does take about 30 days to get out of your system. So he clearly lied and everything. He said, oh, I didn't smoke since whatever, December. And now you're definitely, it's just not a good look. So I'm going to let you guys, we got about 5 minutes. I want to let you comment on anything. I'm going to start with JQ with those picks. And then, you know, keep it to about 2 minutes here if you want to put your quotes in there. And as we get ready to wrap this up too. But I don't know if you want to make any thoughts about the top 10 pick for the mock draft here.
Yeah, so from what I've been looking at, don't beat me up, Rob, because I know you put a lot of time in this. But for Oakland at number four, I think if Leonard Williams doesn't drop to them, I think they do take Kevin White because they are committed to giving his brother Carr, his some more weapons to throw to out there. I don't think they have a true number one right now on their roster, and I think that Atlanta would roll the dice on Gregory if he was still there, even though he failed the test. They are in such need of a pass rush that they might reach a little bit unless they know something that they can't re-sign Julio Jones, where they replace him with another Alabama wide receiver in Amari Cooper. And with Chicago, I like them to take the defensive tackle Danny Shelton from Washington when they bring in John Fox, who's implementing the 3-4 defense, and they don't have a two-gap defensive tackle on their roster right now in order to make that happen. So I think he moves up a little bit to Chicago. They need that piece there because I know they still like the wide receivers they have, even though Kevin White would be a good get for them. But I think with Fox being the defensive coach, that's what he would be looking. I can't really quibble with any other stuff because your pass rushers are always going to come off the board first because this is a quarterback-driven league, and you got to be able to sack them or hurry them, so you're going to get those edge rushers go fast. So I think Atlanta may gamble on Gregory if he's still there at 8.
I don't see Atlanta being that organization. I don't see Arthur Blank as being that owner that's going to be the one that's going to gamble on Gregory. Now, don't get me wrong. There are going to be some owners that will. But I personally don't think Arthur Blank was that owner that's going to take a chance on Randy Gregory. And just my personal opinion. I just don't see it. I mean, there's an outside chance that if the Falcons was the reach, if this particular board holds the way I have it here, I think Atlanta will reach for Bud Dupree over Randy Gregory here. But I think Bud Dupree is a slight reach at number 8. But I think that the Falcons would take him over Gregory just as a safer pick in this particular situation. I think Arthur Blank would try to play it safe with character guys.
Good deal. Finish it up, Rob. You got your mock draft, and you got to go ahead and set the stage for the OT portion as well.
Man, I tell you what, time flies when you're having fun. And I always say we need more time on this show. Unfortunately, that's all for our live portion of the show. We do have an OT portion that's coming up. We have more mock drafts, some other NBA talk, some other NFL talk. You want to stay tuned. You want to listen to this. Click on the same link on tomorrow and listen to this OT portion. Send us what you think via Facebook and Twitter. You agree with us, you disagree with us. Make sure you do that. Next week, we should be back on same time, same channel, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And our friends who are in Hawaii, aloha, it's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaii time. Make sure you join us on next Tuesday. Good night, people.
Just to let you know, JQ, the reason why Robert always gives shout-outs to Hawaii and Germany, I've got family in both places, too, so we always get, like, a lot of love out there, too.
Okay.
He's like, why does it always be shout-outs to Hawaii and Germany? Yeah, we've got family, you know, I've got some family that are across the globe, too, so, you know,
kind of broaden our base.
Hey,
and
I'm not
some
mad
news
at you,
too. Yeah, so we enjoy that too. So, Jake, you got about 30 seconds. Are you want to say anything else before we wrap up the OT portion or heading for the OT portion?
I just want to say once again, thanks for letting me join the podcast. And don't discount my Big Ten out there, America. We're coming back. We are coming back.
Boom.
Stay tuned. Oh, we love it. Oh,
all
down
home, Michigan State beat Duke.
Save me, America.
Look at you.
Man, look what you're getting into. All right, so we are officially heading to the OT. We are now there. And, you know, we're going to spend a lot more time, Rob, on the mock draft because you definitely do a lot of time and effort in that, too. We definitely want to highlight that, too. So we'll keep a look out of that. We got a couple more weeks, man. We're excited about that, too. So April 30th, mark the date. We'll have some time to lead up into that, too. So I do want to talk about a couple of NFL headlines. If you're Demaryius Thomas, you know, obviously you're waiting on that new contract. It looks like he's trying to skip some off-season workouts right now. Is this kind of like a tactic, you think? And I'm going to start with Rob. You think it's a tactic, Rob, for him to kind of get that contract, or are you just kind of like playing hard to get here, Rob?
Well, absolutely. I mean, rightfully so. I mean, he's got the franchise tag on him. This is nothing new in the NFL. It's been going on for years. Obviously, he wants a long-term contract with proper market value and deservedly so. This is just standard business in the NFL. Like, guys get franchised. They're not getting their long-term contract. They're going to hold out and play it safe until they get what they want. And usually it works. And, I mean, 99% of the time it works. By the time training camp starts, he'll have a new long-term contract that's fair for both him and the Denver Broncos. These things just take a little while to work themselves out. But it will in the end, and he'll be in Denver Broncos uniform by the time training camp starts.
It's funny because I heard JQ say, in the background, and Demaryius Thomas hasn't made any plays. He's made some plays, and I remember whenever he did his thing, whenever Tim Tebow threw that pass, man. But that was
See, here we go. Come on, man.
Game, man. So, what's JQ? What's your thoughts on that?
Got to get that Tebow reference in. But the other thing is I've read that he hasn't signed the franchise tag yet and he doesn't want it, and you also have to think about the attack of injury. You know, if he goes out there and he gets hurt and then they try to pull the franchise tag back and they want to offer him a one-year prove-it deal to make sure that he's healthy, you got to protect yourself. So it's not like he's a new wide receiver coming out of college. He doesn't know what Peyton Manning likes to do, where he wants him to go. You know, Peyton knows how he comes out of his breaks, where he likes it on the dig route, where he likes it on the go route. I don't think that's really a big deal for him. I think it's smart for him to protect himself from injury first and foremost and to get that long-term deal. So skip the offseason workouts because they'll cut you in a heartbeat if you aren't performing or if you get hurt. So get your money, make sure you take care of yourself, and, you know, let your agent and John Elway work it out.
Nice. I love it. Good call on both fronts, too, man. So you guys are both hit some good points, too. So we'll see if Rob is on point, if he is going to get that money, he's going to get that long-term deal, or as JQ said, he's going to protect himself, and we'll see how that plays out for sure. I can't believe you put this topic in already, Rob, NFL coaches on the hot seat. Already? We hadn't even started the season yet, and we've already got this category. But, are there some coaches we need to worry about? Is this a shout-out to Marvin Lewis? I don't know.
Yes, with exclamation points behind it. Yes, yes.
Go ahead, JQ.
I'm sorry. Only in Cincinnati can you be rewarded for mediocrity. They have not won a playoff game in his tenure. He's maybe like 3 games above 500. At some point, you have to make the jump to the next level. You can't just keep getting knocked out in the first round. This has to be a referendum on Marvin Lewis this year. There has to be no question about it. I'm a tortured Bengals fan. I'm sorry I get a little passionate about that, but he has to be number one with a bullet. Number two for me, I don't know what's going on in Indianapolis, but with Chuck Pagano, they offered him a one-year deal. And he's won 11 games 3 straight years, and he can't get an extension. I have no idea what's going on with that. So he's clearly on the hot seat for some reason that we don't know about. But for me, performance-wise, has to be Marvin Lewis.
I'm going to throw it to Rob, but if you are an Oakland Raider coach, you're always in the hot seat. That's my little 2 cents, but go ahead, Rob.
Obviously, I have 5 coaches that going into this season I believe is going to be in the hot seat. Of course, JQ. Touched on Marvin Lewis. He's a Bengals fan, so obviously he can enlighten us a lot more than we can. And Marvin Lewis is a guy I like, but obviously this is a result of business in the National Football League. And obviously that team, the Cincinnati Bengals, has a lot of talent. You can question if they have the right quarterback for the team, but that team, when you look at their roster, they're talented up and down that roster. There's no doubt about it. And I expected, you know, better things from the Bengals. I expected them to be a challenger for the AFC title last season. And once again, they disappointed yet
Talk
again.
Talk about it.
Obviously, like I said, Marvin Lewis is definitely on that list. Chuck Pagano, I think he'll be safe, but, you know, we'll see. He's not one of the guys I had on the five. And, of course, you mentioned the Raiders are just hiring Jack Del Rio. He should be safe at least 2 years, I would think. But we'll see how that goes in Oakland. But the other four guys I have, Mike McCoy, San Diego, I think he's another team that's quietly underachieved, in my opinion, down in San Diego. Another team that I believe has got a lot of talent on that roster as well. And they're just barely scratching the surface. 7-9, 8-8, 9-7. I think their team, their roster is more talented than that. Joe Philbin, Miami Dolphins is another team that I think is clearly underachieved. They got some really good defensive players on their front seven. I don't think they've reached their potential. And I think Chip Kelly's on the hot seat, people. I mean, he's made some bold moves this offseason. And, I mean, he's got to really prove that he's really made the right decisions with some of these moves. I think that's really going to put him on a hot seat with some of those Philadelphia Eagles fans as well as that organization. Even though, you know, 2 years ago they won the division in his first season. And another guy who I think historically has been a really good NFL head coach is Jeff Fisher at St. Louis Rams. I think it's time for him to do something with that team. Or you look at that defensive line. This is a beast, probably one of the better defensive lines in the league. It's time for his team to show up and make it to the playoffs. Or I think his time in St. Louis has to come to an end. Those are my guys I would definitely have to put on the hot seat. It's time for them to put up some results going into this 2015 National Football League season.
Good call. I love the passion that JQ showed, man. That's what we like to hear, bro. He's like, yo, I love it, man. So, yeah, no.
My bad.
Yeah, dude, we love it, man. You showed some passion. That's what we like to hear, man. I'm going to skip over the Ravens. I want to talk about this in the NBA here. I want to talk about two important points. And we got to show JQ some love as far as Ohio State, too. So, real quick.
Yes, sir.
More Big Ten talk, man.
Yes, sir.
You'll have your time, too, Rob. Real quick, though. I'm going to sit back, guys. I'm not going to talk a lot about this. You know, you put in, can the Hawks make the NBA Finals? And I'm excited that you showed me some love, Rob. I'm going to say yes, man. I mean, we've been playing consistent. You know, I'm sure that, you know, there's some detractors out there, but I'm going to say yes, man. I'm on board, man. I'm all in, man. But I don't want to be biased and, you know, have these rose-colored glasses on. But real quick, I'm going to throw it out to JQ. What do you think? You think we can make the playoffs or the finals as well, sir?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So we're just going to refer to Atlanta as San Antonio East. Yes, they can absolutely make the NBA Finals. I mean, in that Eastern Conference where you're talking about the 6-7 ACs being 5-6-7 games under 500, absolutely they can make the NBA Finals. I don't think there's any reason why they can't. I think the coach has been doing a fabulous job. They got a good core of guys. They may not have a superstar. I think Teague is borderlining on that, but they play fantastic team ball, and I don't see any reason why, coming out of the Eastern Conference, they couldn't make it.
My man, Rob Ford, what do you think, sir?
Well, absolutely. I mean, JQ made some very good points there on this Hawks team. They moved the ball extremely well offensively. Budenholzer has done a tremendous job, you know, raising a level of play for the Atlanta Hawks. And I can definitely see them. I think it's a two-team race in the Eastern Conference. I would not be surprised if the Atlanta Hawks make it. If I had to make a prediction, though, I would go with the Cleveland Cavs. I think they would get to the finals, but I would not be surprised, not at all, if the Atlanta Hawks make it. I would be shocked if they don't at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals this season. So it wouldn't be a surprise at all to me.
That's a failure if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Russell Westbrook has been killing it, guys. And I guess the question is, does he deserve the MVP? I think he's trying to say that he's not second fiddle to Kevin Durant. He's going to have to prove it. And I think if he pulls it out, if they can somehow make it to the playoffs, yes, that's my question as far as him. Harden's putting doing his thing, man, but it's going to be tough, man, and Steph Curry. But Westbrook's playing out of his mind. What do you think about this, Rob?
I still, Westbrook has had a tremendous season. I mean, the guy's been on a terror leading his OKC team, even though they may just sneak in the playoffs as an 8 seed. I mean, they've had battled a lot with Ibaka and Durant being hurt a good bit of the season, and he's carried that team. But I still have to – I'm still more of a historian, whereas I like to pick – if you got a superstar on a team with the best record, that's typically the guy I typically refer to. And so if I had a vote, it would still go to Steph Curry. Steph Curry, shoot the ball. I mean, lights out. And he's become more of a playmaker as well as a distributor. I like him as far as getting my vote for MVP. But Westbrook is definitely on a ballot. I think I would probably have to rank him number 3 at the moment behind James Harden and Stephen Curry at the moment. And, you know, in Westbrook, the thing you got to realize, too, most of this has taken place in the last few months of the season, whereas I think Stephen Curry and James Harden have been consistent throughout the entire season, and that's why another reason why I would give them the slight edge. But I would have to give my vote to Stephen Curry.
JQ?
Yeah, to piggyback on that, I love what Russell Westbrook is doing. That is now his team. And whenever Kevin Durant comes back next year, he's going to have to fit in. I really believe that. And see
wow.
that alpha dog status, the Westbrook. I believe that. He's just taking the reins of that team. But he's missed so many games due to injury that it's going to be hard for him to win the MVP. And I'm with Rob. And most of the voters, I believe, are historians that they're going to go with the best player on the best team. But I also think that myself would give it to James Harden, because without having Dwight Howard there for most of the season, having Harden play at that level from, you know, game 1 to game 82 and have them as the 3 seed in the West and knocking real heavily on the door on the 2 seed right behind Memphis, I think I would give it slightly to Harden, but we might be in one of those years where you might get a co-MVP with Curry and Harden. It's going to be real hard to distinguish between the two of them, but I think Westbrook, with his game time missed due to injury, is going to keep him from being the MVP.
Westbrook's play is making it easy for Durant to say, deuces, and probably head back to Washington, D.C. But we'll keep an eye on that, too, guys. Man, that's going to be very interesting. Rob, did you have a fantasy shout-out that you wanted to do real quick before we talk about Ohio State?
Well, I know we haven't been really giving our fantasy shout-outs in a while on the last few shows, but in our fantasy basketball league, we're down to the final week of the season and championship round. So we want to give a couple of shout-outs to the guys that are competing for the championship this week. Anthony Davis, the new number 23, he's competing as the number 1 seed in the champions right out of the New Orleans area. And also out of the New Orleans area competing for the championship, Pastor Rock. So they're both competing. So shout-out to them. Good luck, gentlemen. And we'll find out come Monday, who's our fantasy basketball champion.
Love it, love it. We'll keep an eye on that, and we always keep fantasy going as well. 2 minutes, Rob. Definitely get a quick in. Ohio State to repeat as football champions, favorites. Real quick, you got a minute for both of you guys. Actually, 30 seconds, guys. We can get in there.
Well, obviously, going into the season, the most interesting thing about Ohio State this offseason is going to be who's going to be starting quarterback. You got 3 guys that are capable. And so that's going to be really interesting to see how Urban Meyer handles that. And you have to, talent-wise, that roster is going to be stacked as well. They're probably going to definitely be preseason number 1. But how does Urban Meyer handle that rotation at the quarterback position? And does that become a distraction to the rest of the team? That's going to be the thing we have to watch for Ohio State going forward.
So I got to figure it out. Cardale Jones is a starting quarterback. It has to be his job to lose at this point off what he did last year. I think Braxton Miller, they're going to have to convince him to be more like a Cordell Stewart kind of slash, because I don't think he's going to necessarily translate to be a quarterback in the NFL. I love him, but I don't think that's going to happen. But they have such a loaded roster coming back that they have to be the favorite, but it's going to be hard because anytime you're trying to repeat, that bullseye is on your back. But you know me, go Buckeyes. I believe they are the favorite.
Good deal. Wrap it up, Rob. Thank you, guys.
Well, that was a quick 45 minutes again, people. We appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you join us again next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaii. For our friends in Germany, that's going to be Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. Good night, people. Stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Good night, people.
JQ, anything?
Good night, America. Love you.
Yeah. love it, guys. Once again, thank you for the show. Man, we really flew through it. Tune in, like we said, next Tuesday. Got a lot of fun topics. We'll keep it going. We'll have some information as far as the championship game. It's going to be fun times, and we'll keep it going. Good night, guys.
Good night, folks.